نام دوون سنیان رسولی کریم محمد قال الله تعالى في قرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الغلور اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. The days of Hajj are progressing, and these are very blessed nights and blessed days leading up to Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Most High, has given us this opportunity and honor that these days and nights, that we are able to value them, utilize them, and by doing good deeds, saving ourselves from sins, Allah has given us this great ni'mah after 1 year, so that we can spend time productively. From Allah, Allah enables and creates the environment for a person to do good. Whoever he wants, he gives guidance. Whoever he wants, he deviates. This is a great fadl, grace of Allah, and help Allah has given to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, with His mercy, His blessings in this night, the night of Jummah, the night of Friday, it's also the night of Shawwal. Not only are we here to pray, Allah has given us the tawfiq to pray these salahs, these two salahs that we will pray tonight, that we prayed and we will pray, but also due to this night is blessed, it comes once in the week, the night of Jummah. In this night, we have sacrificed some time. We left our home, our work, our other things we're doing, and we've traveled, and which is nothing in comparison to the rewards that Allah is granting to us in this night. The sacrifices made are nothing. If Allah Ta'ala accepts this effort in this night, then just this night is enough to give us forgiveness. Just this night. Allah's mercy, it looks for excuses. Allah seeks excuses to forgive the human being. Allah is so merciful, so gracious, that even if my sins are equivalent to the foam on the sea surface, and with Allah's ability gives us, if I do tawbah, I repent, then Allah will wipe away all the sins like it is the foam on the sea. Not just that, He will change all of those sins into good deeds. If Allah doesn't give us the tawfiq, if He doesn't, you can talk to someone, talk, make him understand, tabligh, because I am obviously connected to tabligh, and trying to spread the deen and propagate. And I see the glory of Allah, that a person, some people have to tell them so much, explain so much, and you come so close to tawbah, repentance, that person, you get so close to tawbah, this will happen, will this happen, what about this? It takes an hour and a half, explain. And with Allah's tawfiq, Allah is the one who gives the guidance though. You can try your best. The person so close, you think he's here, he's about to do tawbah, and that he's going to accept everything that Allah said. And he says, can you give me some time to think about it? That's it, he's a goner. And I think that I get sudden shaking at that time, a jolt, that how Allah is unhappy with such a person, that he's coming, then shaitan stops him. And then when will he come again? And then, can I phone you some other time? He says, I said, it's up to you. I said, you can keep on phoning whenever you want. He says, can I think about it? Because shaitan has taken you away today, then he won't let you come back again. He won't. Totally, he listens, he gets close to do tawbah. So much is thing happening in his mind to that brother or the sister, both are included here. The sisters especially, they think about it before they do tawbah. Although this is Allah's great blessing, you should pay attention to this, that He gives you the ability to change. Allah has given us an opportunity to think, to improve. All life, Allah says, I won't just forgive those sins all life long you committed, I'll change them to good deeds. Imagine. But no, I don't want to embrace the opportunity. How will I do this? What will happen then? What will I do when I come on the deen? If Allah has given you the ability to repent now, He will give you the ability to practice afterwards. If Allah today, if you do tawbah today, if you repent, many examples have come through in my life because I have a connection with tabligh. Many events I've seen. A young man, he comes in the night, he does tawbah, and in the morning he dies the next morning. I've seen that in my life. Live. So, for a human being, for the insan, if Allah gives him the great treasure to do tawbah, to repent, like we are all here, sat here, that who has brought us here? Allah has brought us here. Each and everyone else. Me and you can't just come here if we feel like it. Yeah? We can't. Allah has given us health. He didn't give us sickness. Thousands of, obstacles there were. And there are many people. There's no reason for not coming. But they don't have the importance of coming. I'll come tomorrow, I'll come next week, I'll come next time. And the mother's young, the father's young, they're seeing that their son and daughter are sat at home and they don't pray salah, they don't practice deen, but they don't care. They have no recognition, no feeling inside. Rather, they think they're happy, or my son and daughter earning this much, they've got career, they're professionals, we've saved this much money. No importance to deen. That shall we tell our son or daughter to pray salah? Oh, they're not going to like it if I tell them to pray salah. Oh, would you say, don't you go to prayer? What don't you go to? That's it. That's all we're going to say in the whole week. Don't you pray salah? Allah is watching. Oh, I'll go soon, dad. I'll go soon, mum. And that's it. More than that, we won't speak to them. That your son or daughter, or your mother, if she's not praying, or your wife, if she's not praying, or you, if they're burning in the fire in front of you, is that all you'll say to them? Oh, can you come out of the fire? Can you come out of the fire? Oh, come out when you feel like it, okay? From the fire. We'll die to save that person and our family, to get them out of the fire. We'll give our life. Why? So because we don't have iman, we don't think about the salah and the other things. We say we are believers, but even despite having iman, if I've believed that a fire will come in the hereafter, it will burn us, it will destroy us. All other things we've got fikr in our life. Morning, get up, go to work on time. Well, why don't you go to work? How will we eat? How are you going to earn? How are we going to do the shopping? And thousands of lectures regarding dunya, but no value of the deen? Prayer? This is called the deception of dunya. But the amazing things, we see people die. We pick up the janazas, the funeral prayers we attend. And this is the biggest, you could say, reminder for us, that if you are seeing someone dying, and the hadith teaches it, this is a big reminder that you are putting someone's coffin on your shoulder. It's reminding you that I was alive, he's saying to you, and now you also are going to die one day. It's a reminder. It's a big reminder when somebody passes away in front of us. So don't think that I won't die, and the person who dies says, I was like you, I was alive, I used to eat, I used to run around in the dunya. Bhai's going, brother's going, wife's going, mother's going, father's going, relatives are going, passing away. We? Yes, from our own homes, our own relatives are passing away in front of our own faces. These are all reminders to us. This is called a regular reminder that to remember death. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, great companion of the Holy Prophet. What a great companion, Hazrat Umar. And one person came to him, Hazrat Umar. He was Amirul Mu'mineen at the time, the leader of the believers. Imagine all the countries he was leading, the masses of people under him. Imagine. And imagine how much, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, this is his time when he's Khalifa. And he was Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers. And a person came to him, such true people there were. He said, Umar, the person came and said, Umar, that remember death, you should be afraid of death. He's telling the leader, the person is, that remember death, you should be afraid of death. Are you afraid of death? He's saying to the leader, and he's Amir. And he could have taken out the whip and said to him, who are you to tell me? Who are you to tell me? Yes, don't you know who I am? He could have said that to him. I'm the leader. How can you disrespect me? But Hazrat Umar, his sweat came from his body. He said, huh? What are you saying to me? Who are you? He said, I'm nothing. I'm just a normal person. So he said, why are you telling me? He said, because I love you, O Amirul Mu'mineen. I'm reminding you of death. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the Umar. And these same walis of Allah today, they remind the people out of love. You think that they're mad? That there's dogs running after them, that they're saying to you, pray salah, do this, do dhikr of Allah, do good deeds. What need does a sheikh have to tell? There are two reasons. One is a job and one is service to humanity. Remember this. There's a job where you're paid in anything, any profession, especially in deen. And if in deen he's taking money, salary, then he shouldn't say that I'm serving. Doesn't matter what he's doing. Doesn't matter what he's doing. Imam, or he's teaching children, whatever he's doing. He's not serving the deen at that means. He's not serving the, he's doing a job then. Yes, then don't say that you're serving the deen. Service of the deen, serving Allah's deen, khidmat, is you're not getting anything in repayment for that. No money. He doesn't want any payment, any favors, any rewards. So tell me, that person who is serving the deen, khidmat, and openly he is going after people, giving tabligh, praise Allah, please do good deeds, reminding them, tell me, then how much that person must love the humanity who's doing it for no payment. Think about it. Either he's speeching, he's giving khutbah, sermons, and he's getting a salary. If he doesn't get the salary, he's not going to speak. That's different. Yes, I remember once, a person said to me once, I think it was a London Khanka, that one of our own people, you know, our own people amongst us, that we have a need for imam. So, please tell me the money. How much salary? And he said, money? I'll take this much salary. This is true. You should take the money, alhamdulillah. It's not prohibited in Sharia that you, in terms of the deen, you're doing work of the deen, if you're attaining salary, money, that's totally permissible. It's not impermissible. Yes, but what is this? What is the difference here, my friends? Yes, well done. You understand what I'm saying. Maulana Sahib, you understand. What is this? This is a job though. What do we call this? And you're saying it's khidmat, service. Is this true or false? Tell me. You're leading Tarawih. What are you doing? I'm doing khidmat, service. Are you getting money? So is it a job or is it khidmat, service? Well done. So you understand, we know everything, but we don't want to accept it. So it's not prohibited. I'm not saying that you're doing wrong, you're taking money, you're totally doing right, correct, no problem. You have selected that job, for example, someone studied, becomes a doctor, somebody becomes an engineer, and you've become a walana. So you're earning money, obviously. Fair enough. It's a job, it's your profession, it's your job. But you, if the level of doing khidmat is very high, because khidmat is done for the sake of Allah, that's different. Service. And in that you get the salary. In that you get the salary. But not in riyal, not in pounds, subhanallah. Jannah currency you will get payment. If you do service of the deen, without payment here in the dunya. That's Jannah currency. Understand the difference? So it's your choice. So he said, that I will take this one. So I said, very good. And by chance, he went, this last week, I think, in the weekend, in the Khanka we were gathered, and there was a bayan, he had the bayan, the poor soul, and then straight away he said, Hazrat Sahab, that I, subhanAllah, he said, I won't take no money, no money, because people don't know in it. Just like I'm speaking to you, not everybody has the knowledge, etc. So if you tell them, then they learn and realize, what do you understand what I'm saying? So he said, he sent the message, he said, it's very wrong, that if I do a job, I won't be doing khidmat, will I? He's a good person, his heart opened, with dhikr, the nur had come into the heart. This is the test for a person, that is there dhikr or is there no dhikr in that person? Subhanallah. Is the dhikr working or is the dhikr not working? This is the real point, is the effects of dhikr, the impacts of dhikr in the real life. Every day. That's why we do dhikr of Allah, so that our heart is developed and made, so that good positive thoughts and inclinations, I'm not greed, not wanting dunya, ikhlas, sincerity, the love of Allah, no connection with the dunya, deen should be separate and dunya should be separate. This is called the heart being made. Developed. The heart is being made. That's it. So when you're successful, your dhikr is very good, mashallah, doing 10 tasbih, 5 tasbih. If this is happening, then even your 5 tasbihs are succeeding. No need to do 100 tasbih then. Yes. And if you do this, mashallah, you maqam. If you do more, then you're in high status. If from 5 tasbihs you are succeeding, then you are the excellent student. You're progressing. The lying's gone, envy's gone, the practicing sunnah, haram's come out of life. You're giving sacrifice. That mashallah, the path of, you could say haram is there for you. You say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. And you're going deficit in the world, but you're leaving that. I won't do this, I won't go towards haram, I won't do this. Congratulations, your dhikr is successful. And you can see this yourself, that how much sacrifice am I giving, that how much, that I could earn this much money at this time, but because my heart is made, I don't feel like taking money. No, I won't take this payment. Subhanallah. This much time I can waste. I could earn this much money, I could deceive people in the dunya, I could do fraud, I could cheat, I could earn in other ways. But no, my heart doesn't feel like this now, I will leave the wrong, this is enough for me. So you're saying this to yourself, congratulations to that person, mashallah. And the rest, that if 10 tasbih, 100,000 tasbih, he says this, he's got a long beard and he's showing off, and his hal is this, he's stealing, deceiving, lying, taking money from left and right, and the love of the dunya is not going, then he's not getting, no, he's the biggest fraudster in this world and the hereafter. His dhikr is not succeeding, it's not positive for him, it's all false, it's a lie. Himself he should assess, we should assess ourselves. Am I deceiving myself in my life? How much has the love of dunya come out? The meaning of dhikr is to extract the love of the dunya and for the love of Allah and His Rasul to come and replace that. That's dhikrullah. That's the cure. Dhikrullah is a cure. And we all have to achieve this cure. If I teach hadith, I have to do dhikrullah. Okay, you understand? If I teach Quran, I have to do dhikrullah, take the remedy. Everyone has got deficiency inside. To develop the heart, Allah says, definitely all of us have to do dhikrullah. Yes, any profession, career, path of the deen, that lazim, dhikr is compulsory for that person. Dhikrullah is not for some special sect or group or cult. Kullun muslimin is essential. Until you don't do dhikr, you cannot be clean, washed. Whatever action of the deen you are implementing in your life, the pathway, then there will be riya in that. You'll be showing off, there will be fraud, there will be lying, there will be showing off, there will be pretending. It will be just showing to people. Say subhanallah. Any pathway of the deen, you're teaching Quran, hadith, tafsir, you're this and that, you're a teacher, whatever work of the deen you're doing. But if your heart is not reformed and cleaned and purified, your work will go to a waste, dunya will come, lying will come, fraud will come, showing off will come, quarrels will come, disputes will come, disagreements will come. But if you have dhikr in your heart and you're doing dhikr, through dhikr of Allah, your heart is cleaned and washed and purified and made and developed, whatever actions then you do for the deen, then the nur, the light will come into those actions. And you'll know that yourself. And no action is prohibited. You can do this, you can teach Quran, hadith, whatever you want to do, whatever work the thing you want. But keep dhikr in parallel in your life. Daily. You understand? Dhikrullah is not for some special Muslim, special Jamaat, special group of Muslims. No. Or hadith, is hadith for just the hadith people? Is Quran just for the Quran people? No. Everything Allah sent in the deen, whatever education you're doing, and you think it's just for you, there's no restriction. But are you doing that work of the deen with dhikr Allah in parallel? In parallel, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? So dhikr, if your heart is being made, and the sign of your heart being made developed is the love of the dunya is going, and the love of the hereafter starts to come. Yes, the desire for dunya decreases, and the desire for hereafter increases. The time for dunya decreases. There in the dunya, there's 4 hours, 5 hours, maybe 6 or 7 maximum here, for thereafter, all the rest of your day and night, 15 hours. So here the deen increases and the dunya decreases. MashaAllah, dhikr, congratulations, is working. It's working. But we don't want to do this. That we'll keep on knocking the tasbihs, and at the same time, MashaAllah, we'll do wrong things. So who are we deceiving? Who am I deceiving? We're wasting our time. We're wasting our time. You understand what I'm saying? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, come back to the example. There was a saying that a person came to him with the reminder, when a person sees death, is a reminder, the person who's dying say, "Oi, I'm going. Are you foolish? You will follow me soon. There's a point coming in my mind. Shall I tell you?" That this, you know, Salatul Janazah, people gather, Kamul, they announce, prayer, funeral, they go to the graveyard. All of these things that have been made, that he's died, and you pick a person, you bury him. All of these people gather, then there's people come together to express their grief and sorrow. This is a reminder for all of us that you are also going to die one day. And this affects the heart at that time. Impacts the heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the point now? Everything behind every action of deen is hikmah. That to gather the people, big janazah gathering to announce, to go to the graveyard, there's thawab for this, there's reward for this, reward for this, qirat, you get the mountain reward or two mountain rewards. Why? Because Allah is reminding me and you every moment in our lives, even through janazah, that for example, he was younger than me, he stood with me yesterday, I saw his face, to see the face of the ones who died. Do you understand? To go and see the face of he who's died. These are all reminders. So he said to Umar, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, commander of the faithful, remember death. Do you remember death?" He asked Hazrat Umar, and he didn't tell him off. He said, "My brother, please come forward." He said, "Here, please, you've given me the big reminder." And he said, "I reminded you, where's Umar and where are you?" But he said, "I did love you because you are my friend, so I thought I would remind you about death." Look at this. So this is the people who love each other, because those who do a job with salary, they're different, and those who serve the deen for the sake of Allah, they are different. Subhanallah. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So he was scared, taken aback. What's this? I didn't say anything else. I said, the whole Quran says. He said, when am I saying you're wrong? Sit down. Sit down. What will you drink? What will you eat? What dates will you eat? He said, MashaAllah. So now, he said, I don't want anything. Just do dua for me. This just a little bit. I'm just explaining to you nicely so you understand their conversation. Then he said that, shall I give you a job? SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saying. Hazrat Umar is saying to him that, he said, I have a need. I need a job. I need some work. I've got young children. And he said, okay, I'll give you a job today. He said, what? He said, I'll give you a duty daily. He said, what? He said, every day you have to come and remind me and I will give you salary for you reminding me. Allahu Akbar. Do you understand? Do you understand? SubhanAllah. He said, Umar, do you remember? Every day, doesn't matter how many people are there, whoever's come, convoys have come, you come and say, Umar, that do you remember death or not? Tell me every day. And then he'd cool down and tears would come out of his face. And he'd say, then go. And then he'd get the envelope. Not envelope, obviously, in those days. But he would give him a stipend, some money. He gave him a duty. Then he came again one day. He said, Umar. He said, stop. He got taken aback. He said, huh? Why? He said, stop now. Finished. He said, what's the problem? Why should I stop? Yeah, have I been rude? I've done bad, be disrespectful. Why should I stop my job? Are you sacking me for my job? He said, your job's finished. That job, I can't carry on. I have no need now. He said, why? He said, you were telling me every day I have a need. I mean, he said, I don't have a need now. I have the need for someone to remind me, but I don't have a need for you. This was Hazrat Umar. He said, this is also a secret. Please tell me, what's the game behind it? Have you kept someone else? Have you recruited someone else? Have you got somebody better than me to remind you about death? He said, no. He said, before you used to come, and through you, Allah prepared. Now Allah Ta'ala Himself has prepared that inside me, that reminder, so I have no need for you. He said, so when He Subhanallah, had a beautiful black beard. He said, look, how many hairs? He said, one. He said, this one grey beard is now, white beard is, hair is a reminder for me. Subhanallah, after 50 years old, those who have lived their life 50 years old, the Holy Prophet says, 55, he was close to 55. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ was revealed. As Sadiq started to cry. Why? That's the announcement has been made now. That said, the announcement has been made. That we will soon be separated, I know, and that the work is going to be completed soon. The Jamaat has been made, the Deen has been delivered to the dunya, the Sahaba have been developed, the Prophet has given the final. Allah said, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Just come towards dhikr, my Prophet, come, you will be coming back to me soon. Do you remember this surah? My brothers, we all 70, 80 years old and our jobs of the dunya don't finish. Our backs are bent, injections and medicines running around in the dunya. Money, we want more wealth, make businesses, companies. Children should go and work. Money from this side, from the left side, from Japan, from this country, that country. Allahu Akbar. What's happened to us? What's happened to us? And we're asking for Allah to give us Jannah, paradise. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So Shawwal blessings I'm sharing with you. Shawwal's blessings. This is your love, sincerity. You've come to learn the deen. You haven't come here to learn drama. You've come to learn the deen. So may Allah give us the ability to practice as well. So mashallah, you'll get genuine, pure teachings here. Mashallah. I will give you the beautiful, benefits from this discussion, inshallah. We'll try. So, he said that one hair, white hair is enough for me, that you came to me to remind me. But he said, every day I keep looking at this white hair, my beard, that Umar, you are about to go soon. In our situation, all our hairs are white, then we get the color, the dye, and we try to hide our white beards or hair. What will we get from that? In other words, we're not even ashamed that the mirror in front of us, we're watching, and what am I doing? How much money am I going to save eventually? What money am I going to take with me? At least I should be fed up now, the dunya. I'm 60, I'm more than 60 years. Your legs, hands, arms are declining. And even at least now you should stop running after the dunya. You don't even have need now. You could sit at home and if you eat, you got so much money that with ease, you could do sujood, prostrate, and eat and drink. But no. How is greed and want, amassing and hoarding, more and more we want. There's a limit, isn't there, for this? Yes, look at my balance sometimes. I've got this much money now. How many years I've earned? How many years more am I going to be alive? I've got so many assets. Nayar, make that, go back there. Thousands of business, multiple companies, one person's got. One person. And such people there are that you can see, you can name it. That if you say their name, they're doing that business. Name the company operation they're doing. Activity. You say, he does it, he's doing it. If he's doing that, I'm doing that as well. There's no part of the dunya activity operations he's not doing. They say, yaar, how does he sleep at night when he's running so many enterprises? Multiple. How does he sleep? And the question? Don't care about life and the hereafter. Eating, drinking, Allah's not prohibited, that's fine. But there's a limit that with the life you have to age. Allah's given you a house, a car, He's given you health, your money's been saved. That, even that's not enough. We're trying to find from other avenues. And after that, for the dunya, that for example, is there any limit to how much we should have? No. No limit. Every second the mind's revolving, turnover, business, salary, money, amount, how dangerous this thinking is. No fear, we're picking up janazas, doing khatam, people are dying, passing away. Yes, my mother passes away. Oh, my wife, oh, no sorrow, no learning. Wife's passing away, mother's passing away. That a person doesn't want to move from his position, just carry on amassing dunya. No care. And those ones, summun bukmanum, as I said to you, tawfiq, totally close, and there the fear comes. Just today, 2-3 events I'm sharing with you. Just recently, I said that 1.5 hours I took with a person to explain to him about deen, one sister. 1.5 hours. And she hesitated. She said, I'm going to have a think about it. And then, can I phone you when I've got spare time? I said, you can phone in the future. But I know shaitan, his tricks, won't let that person come back. Because that jolt, that passion at that time, when a person takes a bayah at that time, the color of deen would come off that person. But I'll come again, some other day, bayah, then the enjoyment goes. The impact goes. The enjoyment is the first time Allah's pulling you, just stick to that and run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. Allah ta'ala's love of His mercy and Him pulling on you is the reply to Allah by changing. Allah, you put your rahmah, a splash of mercy in mind, just get up and come to the dhikr of Allah. This is the reply to Allah's rahmah, mercy, that you accept Allah's invitation at that time. Raw. It's not a smooth thing. Look how a person changes. And who are we talking about? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His words, why don't we understand his great examples? In a hadith, he has taught us. This hadith now I've come to my mind, I'll share with you. That all our problems will be solved if we understand this hadith. That right now me and you, if we realize that we are going to paradise, are we going to hell? This hadith, this is such a hadith. Might be sacrificed for the Holy Prophet that each word of his taught us the vast ocean of deen in the hereafter. Each word was so weighty, vast. What a beautiful hadith that's just come in my mind that I'm sharing with you. That just as you live, that is how you will die. Subhanallah. Just the short hadith. Just the way you live, the style, that's how you will die. What a beautiful hadith. Yes? That the way you live your life during your ages, the life you live, that is how your death will take place. If you don't pray salah, then your death will be of a person who doesn't pray salah. If you have immodesty in your life, then you will die the death of immodesty. If you run after the dunya in your life, then you'll have the death of the dunya person, Qarun, like Qarun died. If you want to amass money and money, then you will die like a person who hoarded wealth. This is hadith I'm telling you, that Allah's Nabi Sallam opened it all up in front of us, that every person who's living, he knows how he'll die. The Prophet Sallam said, you will know how you will die. And look at that, how do we assess these words of the Prophet Sallam? This hadith. What a great hadith. Assessment. Who do we ask? Am I right? Am I wrong? Will I go to heaven, hell? Ask yourself inside. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, just like you live your life, your death will be like that. You can assess yourself. If you serve Allah's deen, then your death will be of a person who served the deen. If you serve with money, then you'll have the death with that person who took payment. If you live the life with the love of Allah's deen, then you'll have the death of the person who loved Allah's deen. If you have the life of a person enmity of deen, then you will die like an enemy. If you leave parda, segregation, then you will die like that person who did that. If you don't pray salah, then your death will be a person who didn't pray salah. You will die like that. No power of the world will be able to save you. If you don't pray salah, it's been told what is that death of that person like. The 15 punishments come on that person who's lazy. Forget about the person who leaves salah, he's a disbeliever. It's openly stated, the person who doesn't pray salah, he's a disbeliever. The person who neglects salah, 15 azar. End of story for the person who doesn't pray salah. It's kufr. disbelief. It's not a big, small thing for an imam to say this. Imam of deen has stated this. A person who doesn't pray salah purposely, disbelieving. Is this a minor thing? So what will the death of that person be who doesn't pray salah? A person who doesn't pray salah, his death will be like this. Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is telling us this. That don't look towards the dunya, that you live less than you are living, but the result will come out when you are dying. Right now Allah is not going to disturb you. Your face won't be made fat and wide, stones won't be thrown to you from the sky, the earthquake won't come to you, no punishment. Do what you do while you're living. But Allah's Nabi said, I'll teach you the hadith, that if you believe in this, then you will practice according to my hadith. If you don't, you will deny and you'll see at the time of death. So the Holy Prophet, yes, did he say, yes, then I will do it. I should obey. If I have iman inside my heart, I will obey. If you don't do amal on the hadith, then that means you don't have iman, faith. You don't have the faith and the belief. That's why you don't practice the hadith. That's why you're not practicing the instructions on the hadith. Is the hadith a minor thing? Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A statement's coming to us. Muhaddithin, their death is being said. The one who teaches the Quran, his death has come. Those who are fraudsters, their death is being told. Those who love the dunya, their death has been defined to us. Everything is there in front of us. We can see it, we can read it fully, the examples. Those people who leave salah, run after the dunya for money, for business, for their shops, for their trade, for their warehouses, due to laziness, negligence, then they have a severe death. Severe death is not a joke. Yes, you think very easily you can leave salah? How will we be able to bear? What if my children, about that woman, that she died like this, or my son or my daughter dies like this, severe, such a severe, bad death, wretched, that person when he's dying is happening, that even if you put the ocean into his mouth, he cannot quench his thirst. His mouth will be so dry. Put the whole ocean in his mouth, it won't quench the person who doesn't pray salah. His mouth will be so dry. Those punishments will be given in the grave, that person cannot imagine, the person who doesn't pray salah. The punishment starts soon as he dies, or she dies. Soon as the person dies, then punishment starts. And the father can come and try and save uncle, mother, grandfather. No one can save that person. Bring your money, all the money you saved in the banks, in your houses, bring, but it won't save you. All the warehouses, building assets, where will they go? They cannot save you. All finish when you die. Such a severe, wretched death that the bones will break, overlap all the time, continuous ongoing, the punishment. And the fire will come so deep and vast, that fire will be in the grave thereafter. Such animals, scorpions and animals who come to bite him, that they have been shown. Not this Allah hasn't shown. That even in the world Allah shows us. The horrid, horrible, I've seen, people have seen live these. Live, Allah has shown them the vision of the punishments. Why? Because a person cannot be wrong. Allah is saying, if Allah and His Rasul has said this, then it's truth and it's haq. And it will happen like that. But the dunya puts a veil, our nafs and desires, and shaitan, the greed of the dunya, puts a veil, a curtain. Oh, it's okay, yaar. Salah, yaar, I'll pray afterwards when I'm older, yaar. Nothing will happen to me, so minor. Allah says, just as I've explained, it will happen. Just the way you live, you will die like that. The color and lifestyle, if you play with the phone, then you will die the death of a person playing the phone. If you watch films, then you will die. If you run after girls and women, you will die like that whilst you're doing zina, adultery. At the time of death, you will die like that. You will see all the time. Yeah, you saw the wrong. Yes, that's the time when the death, the severity will come. Is this a minor thing that such a great hadith comes to us? The Holy Prophet ﷺ is advising us, we don't practice it and we ignore it? No chance. If you are immodest, Oh, Mawlana Sahib said that it's not jais to wear burqa, hijab. This person said we don't have to, it's not permissible. I said, okay, very good. Very good. Then you could see that everything you have around you right now, all types of Mawlana sat around you in the world. You can go to anyone to get the fatwas, different types of people, different color, turbans, speeches, conferences, big gatherings. But there's no deen today. There's no deen. If you ask people all the questions you ask under the sun, you get the wrong answers. That's why I said, Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Go to the true, honest people, the friends of Allah. You won't find a wali on YouTube for views and likes and this. I don't even know, on Facebook or YouTube, all these apps and the social media, all these people we run after. What's the name of these media, the channels? You won't find the true person there. Will you find him in the khanka? You will find the sheikh. In the khanka. That's his life is spent in the khanka. He doesn't go out in the dunya looking for fame, recognition. His pictures don't come, his photos don't come, his videos don't come, his adverts don't come, no announcement, nothing. He's not seeking for him. What does goes out? His words are distributed around the world. His words, verbal. Am I right or wrong, tell me? And such they go without any YouTube, without any pictures, videos. It's distributed around the world. And mashallah, people are listening. They benefit. Why? Because Allah says, Quran is truth. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah qulu ma sadiqin. Go to a wali, a friend of Allah, your heart will become alive. Your heart will start to do dhikr. And when your heart does dhikr, then you'll be honest and true and your life will become like, just like that life that you are spending now. You will die in the same way, in a good way. Good way. You're true, you will die honest person. If you're love of the Prophet in your life, you will die as a lover of the Prophet. No, we want to sit with thieves and we want to die like a wali Allah. Subhanallah, what a weird clash. Yeah, the Prophet said, what sort of hypocrisy is this? How will you die like that if you're living with thieves? Just sit down with the good people. Don't do anything. Just have a good akidah, positive belief. Sit down with the good people with respect and adab. That's all. That's all. End of story. Cool? Why? Allah says, leave the rest to me because I've said I will develop you when you sit with the good people. I will make you leave the sins. But we don't want to follow, I don't want to leave this, I don't want to leave this sin, and we want to go right to the back of the scene and just run with the tasbihs and do the sins. I said, 70 years, 80 years old, you're alive, and you're not even, you know, a person. For example, if you put the falsehood in front of a person, he just believes in that falsehood. Every life, everything in life, every person who has good company, every time you sit with good company, you will get a good effect. A new feeling, a new emotion, a new benefit, a new revival. Each time you sit with good people. So if we've understood this now, okay, I've understood this today, I didn't know this before. I've understood this today, I didn't know this before. But we're just the same, the way we were before. Whatever you have understood today, is it not new? The way you live, that is how you will die. Have we not understood that today? So mashallah, the ball's in your court. How do you want to die? How do you want to? I want to die as a good human being. Then first look at your salah. Are you a good human being with the salah? Do you pray salah? No, I can't pray salah fajr. I'm lazy in the evening. I leave salah in there. I'm in the warehouse. I've just made a mosque in my warehouse, in my workplace. Then listen. Such a person who prays salah like this is said that from fajr, the punishment comes on that person. From fajr. Allahu Akbar, a person who neglects salah. The angels come and they come to that person and that he will have such punishment and they will lash out that person that he will be buried so far down beneath the ground. And this scene will continue when? When that starts until Zohar. Then where were you at Zohar? Oh, I couldn't pray. I was busy at that time. It was difficult to pray. Tuck! The angels come again. 70 times down again you will go until Qiyamah you will be. And how do you save yourself from that? Yes, but just start praying salah. To do what? What do you need to do? That to become a person who is a proper person, pray salah. The test is coming. That does my servant listen to me and pray salah? Does he stand at his workplace or in the dunya amongst his children? He drops everything at that time. That the Prophet said, that Allah says that leave the dunya, your family, your friends, your children for dhikr of Allah. Whoever understands this, Allah says that nothing for dunya, his shop, his house, wife, children. Soon as adhan, he runs to the masjid to pray salah. The male. Why? Because if he does this, then what will he get at that time? Allah's Nabi says, I'm saying, then he will get the life just like he's a person who prays salah. Subhanallah. Then he will get great wealth. That wealth that he leaves, the salah he leaves to not pray salah, that he's leaving salah to make wealth, Allah says he won't get anything. But if he leaves the wealth to go and pray salah in the masjid, Allah says, for my sake he comes to the masjid, then Allah says, I promise for that person I will give him wealth, and I'll give him nice, comfortable wealth and money. He'll get pure good things in this world. Pure good things. I will fulfill his needs and requirements, Allah says. All the needs and requirements are rizq, wealth, earnings is to fulfill the requirements. Allah says, without any hesitation, Allah says, I am the Rabb, I am the Lord, I know how much my servant needs, what he needs, and I will supply him, I will give to him, ongoing. Who is this? That's the person who prays salah. That's one effect. The person starts to pray salah, you will get these things. In salah, he will get the dunya that he needs. Second thing, And you're going to die, aren't we? Where will we go first in the grave? What happens to that person? Subhanallah. That his ribs overlapping, this fire, scorpions, person who doesn't pray Salah. Allah says that this person prayed, he listened to me, he was afraid from the azab punishment of the grave. When he goes down in the grave, what will his grave be? There'll be carpets, fresh breeze, cool breeze and light. People think he's going to the grave, he's crying, do khatam for him. He'll say, the enjoyment I'm getting, you can't get that in your life, in the dunya, that person was in the grave. You pray Salah. He will say that you're fooling, pity on me, I have pity on you. While I'm in the grave, you foolish people in the dunya, how you living your life without Salah? You should crush your desires for a few days and do the good things. Sit down with a sadiq and honest person. Why don't we sit? I sat down with an honest, sincere person, a wali Allah, and I succeeded, says the person in the grave. Why don't you do that, oh living people? Why do you keep repeating this? This is, mashallah, that me, myself, I improved by sitting with wali Allah. I didn't pray Salah, I used to leave Salah, I used to do this, I used to do that, I used to do other actions, I used to leave the sunnah. All the defects were in me when I went in the company. Allah Ta'ala obviously gives the love, because I had to do this. So I went, and Allah gave me an opportunity, I sat with the wali Allah. After that, I didn't say, I'll think about it. I said, I've understood when I sat with my shaykh. First sitting, I've made the decision, I've understood. I've accepted that. Now I said this decision will not break. I made that promise. If I think, oh, my dunya will go, this will go. Allah says that, subhanAllah says that if you've made the friendship with my wali, Allah promised to you, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah says that don't worry, how will you get wealth and money and earnings? How will you study? Allah says, you worry about money? Here, all the degrees, I tore them up. If I don't get this now, then I will see afterwards, then I will look for a job. What else is there? I said to my sheikh, they said to me, you mad? How will you get married? Who will propose to you? I said, no problem, no worries whatsoever. If I embrace the deen, leave the dunya, and then, mashallah, that at least you've got dates and water, alhamdulillah, we'll live on that, we'll eat that, that's enough. Me and my wife accepted that. So if it happens, if we get money, if we get dunya, fine. If not, then no worries. We'll practice the deen. But don't take a chance. Don't hesitate. If you take the chance, hesitate, then you're gone. Then you won't be able to come back. If I think about it, shall I practice deen? No, it's not nothing to think about. If it's done, it's done. Contract made. If the deen, dunya is going, let it go. Oh, this money, £1,000 you will lose if you practice Islam, if you do what Allah is saying. Let it go. No problem. That can you replace these pounds with Jannah? No, then be quiet. How will you get Jannah? I will get paradise through what I'm thinking. And by giving my life and practicing deen, I'll get Jannah. No, by taking money of the dunya. By leaving money of the dunya, I'll get Jannah. Say subhanAllah. So what happens? That here, in the qabr, in the grave, mashallah, I've been passed away and buried, and we will rise from them the dead. How will the person who doesn't pray salah get up from his grave? Allah, but don't ask the punishments they will get. They'll be naked, their mouths wide open, full of loans. They're wearing chains and shackles. The person who didn't pray Salah was lazy. Where's your mother and father going now? Oh, yeah, you pray Salah one day, my son, daughter. Please, why do you keep saying pray Salah? Be quiet. Mother and father, they're saying to him, oh, we told him to pray. He doesn't listen. My daughter doesn't listen. He's tired. My son comes back from work, school. Inshallah, he'll pray one day. Has anyone asked to pray Salah? But we tell him to pray Salah. What happens? He doesn't listen. We tell him sometimes, but he doesn't care. What can we do? Tell me such big swears, he will swear to his mother and father that you made me wretched in my grave thereafter. And he'll curse them. That if only you forced me, I would not have been punished then after death. It would be in a bad state. So the time of death, in the grave, severity. Those who will rise on the day of judgment, severity. But the person who prays Salah will come out of his grave in a beautiful way. Allah said on the day of judgment, when they'll come out on the day of resurrection, Allah from their right hand, Allah will give them the record book in the right hand. Ashabul Yameen, their glory, their status. Soon as they'll be given their book of deeds, they'll say, oh, subhanAllah, they'll kiss their book of deeds. Oh, people, they'll show off, hey, angels, look at my book of deeds. Al-haakum al-takathur, hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Where are the angels, they'll say? Oh, look at my book of deeds, that person will say. Look, I used to do good in the world. Look at the rewards Allah has given to me now. They'll show off to the angels. They'll shout out and show to the angel their book of deeds. And they'll be proud. They'll look at my deeds and they'll open up. Look at my deeds, and Allah has given it in my right hand. And those who will take the deeds in the left hand, they left the salah, left sunnah. Their life was like this, isn't it? Allah's Nabi says, just like you live your life, that's how your death will be. On the day of judgment, the resurrection of the people who prayed salah. And those who left salah, Those who left salah, Allahu Akbar, it's a severity. Don't even ask how they'll be treated. They'll be shackled in chains, severe. Death won't be coming, life won't be coming. They'll be hanging in the balance. They'll say, Ya, how I wasted my life. Do you understand now the value of life? This is life. The business, money, this is not life. Life isn't business, earning money, getting a degree, and becoming a technician, an apprentice, an electrician. The life is to become a Muslim. That's why we're living this life. To become a Muslim. To become a person who formulates and develops his iman. Just do 4 tasbih, pray 2 salah in the day, and think you're a pious person? No. Takes the whole life. What's the time now? Oh, we're late again today? Okay, no problem. So then we'll do again dhikr in the second phase after Isha. Okay, so just stay here now, sitting. Stay here sitting now. Just as I said, just as you live your life, you'll live the death. So these were the people who did dhikr. I'll tell you how they will be treated in the hereafter, mashallah. Those who come and spend time remembering Allah. That's why we sit here. They used to stay sitting when they used to come at Maghrib. Then they stayed, used to listen to the Bayan till Isha. Then they dhikr after Isha and go. Then Allah will ask this. Are these those people? Even then their heart wasn't full then. They wanted more. Sheikh said, okay, let's stop and we'll stop doing dhikr. Then in the morning they'd come again after Fajr, the mad people, and sit and dhikr again. Because that's the enjoyment, isn't it? Of dhikrullah. And the result, then look at the result. Allah says, just like you live your life, said the Prophet, you will die like this. Look at the death of the dhakireen, those who did these good actions, and you'll see their death tomorrow. They used to stay stuck to the dhikr of Allah. Wala dhikrullahi akbar, that they used to do so much dhikr, the most beloved to Allah, they used to do that deed. Shall I tell you? Shaykhul Hadith said it. He wrote so much in depth. The Fazail, Dhikrullah, as a Shaykhul Hadith wrote the Kitab. He knew the virtues of dhikr, the greatness of dhikr. No? Yes. And we don't even know, is this Deobandi, is he true, Aladi, Salafi, or Brelwi? Who's correct? That we look at on YouTube, we look at the clips, videos, and the person says this, he makes disagreements, and we will leave him, then we'll go and sit and watch them, the death of Allah, they will say, the death time, where's the phone in the grave? Where's the phone so I can see it? And they'll say, Man Rabbuka, he'll say, telephone. Man Rasulukum, mobile phone. That's it. YouTube. All of this is shaitani games, wasting our time and our lives. That when we are alive, like now, so this has become a weak point. That as long in our pocket we don't have that device, you won't even come to pray salah. Alhamdulillah, never in my life, my pocket's never empty, you'll never see it. Yes, if there's a time I have to see something, then I'll bring my phone with me. Maybe I'll look at to remind me something. What is the need to have the phone in your pocket at the time of salah? Why do you need it at that time? Yeah, you are taking that sin along with you for no reason. Every person has the phone in his pocket. What's the problem when you come into salah, to the masjid? Why do you need it? As long as shaitan's not with us, we don't pray salah, we don't do hajj, we don't do any amal, no practice without the shaitan, the device. Such a weak point that shaitan's made this device. Everything shaitan makes a weak point that we can't. Weren't the Muslims before us not alive with that device? I was alive when these smartphones and devices weren't there. What happens now? Straight away, that we take the phone, we put it in front of us. We're in the prayer, we got the phone on the floor, and we're prostrating on top of the phone. Don't take back what I'm saying. That's why have we made such a device our weak point of life? Why? Why do we crumble? If you got so much desire to do something, what do you have a desire? What's inside the phone? Tell me anyway. Inside the phone, just YouTube, clips, films, and what else is there on the phone? They're saying news, fuzul, waste of time, all the dunya, is a bomb there, explosion there, war there. Just wait, what's the interest in all of this? What do we achieve? This is called wasting life. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. First of all, detach yourself from the phone. That without any objective, that I'm not getting any real benefit from this for my hereafter. What I'm doing with this. What's the objective? Why phone numbers you give to all the people in the world? You share your number. For what? And weird games. Oh, I want to make that girl. I want to track that girl, that woman. So many connections with girls. Europe, in Kenya, in this country. You connect LinkedIn. I'm saying, what are you doing in the night? Is this what you do? Make connections with women around the world on your phone? This is shaitan. Shaitan. And we say we're Muslims. What? That the Prophet ﷺ has said in the hadith, the way you live is the way you will die. So the way you spent your night with your devices on your phone with girls, talking to them, looking at girls and women, then your death will be like that as well. So get it now. Tell your children, save them. Right now we give the gift and the birthday children, young children, 7, 8 years old, they're playing games, there's a device, happy birthday, and you give them a phone. Celebration. You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? And most of all the dirty mindset is the phone. Dirty, naked women, immodest women, Allah, the sins that are shown on the screen of the phone. As soon as night time, you open the phone and switch on. Big Maulana scholars with long beards, they sit down and watch those scenes on the screen of their phones. I'm telling you the truth. They come in the morning, his jaws dropping at Salah time. They're watching these things in the night. Why? Because it's an extraction of desires. The Holy Prophet, as I'm saying, that person... Who? You have the nafsi amara, nafsi su, bisu, the nafsi amara, that if you don't have understanding, then you'll be gone. You'll be consumed by the base desires. As a girl, beautiful woman, and she's got fragrance, and she's closed the doors, this is Surah Yusuf. Then why are you worried about it? Why don't you think about yourself? You're a young man, beautiful person, he has youth, and all the doors are closed. The trap is that she said, come, come. And he turned and said, what's going on here? The doors are locked, sealed. What have you done? She said that I put the veil so that my God cannot see what we do. Eh? And subhanAllah, he said that you closed the doors, you think the veil, but my Rabb is still watching me now. SubhanAllah, that's the learning we get. Oh foolish person, that Rabb you think you've hidden by closing the door seals and your God can't see you, you've closed the veils and curtains, but my God can see through thousands of veils, Yusuf alayhi salam said. So how can you make me trapped? She said, no, I've called you, you'll have to come to me. He said, this cannot be. But inside that, he didn't have that desire. Yusuf alayhi salam said, me, that my situation is about to get bad, Allah save me, Allah save me. He turned to Allah immediately. Then Allah said, run Yusuf, run, run. I tell you the method. I've turned to you and he ran one door, two doors, all the doors, the locks were broken. Allah save Yusuf alayhi salam. He had the desire. So these stories that are told to us in the Quran, this is ta'lim, education, Yusuf alayhi salam. It's not a story. It's not a tale. Every prophet's history and facts, they are education for our lives now. That these events, you should be saved like this. Not this, that as a Yusuf alayhi salam, that's his story. And I said to her sister, that you do parda? She said, parda? Segregation is not necessary. I said, why is it not necessary? I said to her, why? She said, I don't need to segregate parda, cover myself. The Sahaba, the earlier, the prophets and the wives, they did that. They said, oh, that was the olden days. We're not in the olden days. Now that was for them. They were pious people, the Sahaba, the prophets and Zira, she said. I said, eh? See, that was for them, hijab, parda. They were big people, pious people. They should have, no, for us, we are sinful people. For us, it's not necessary, she said. Parda hijab. Allahu Akbar. I said, what's necessary for you? Yeah? What's necessary for you then, sister? Yeah? Because you want the same Jannah that they will get. You want the same paradise that they will get. So this is shaitani deception. Who does this? The same people, the media. The media is playing in our brains and our minds. Shaitan, oh yaar, I read Quran on the phone. At least the Quran's on that app and then see how he tricks you, shaitan. Who told you to read Quran on the phone? That he'll make you read Quran less and the phone will take you somewhere else. With the Quran excuse, there's another thing on the phone. Many other apps. Don't give your children these devices. Games, wasting time, gifts on birthdays, save yourself. Are you mad? You're spoiling their life. They know everything what happens on the phone, what doesn't happen. They know everything. So what does Allah's Prophet say? That just like you live the life, you will die like that. If you don't pray salah, you will die like a person who didn't pray salah. Very severe death, grave hereafter. 15 punishments come on a person who doesn't pray salah. Neglects. We cannot imagine. Our children, wives, will watch them burn. But those people who follow their lives according to Allah's preference, what will be their situation, subhanAllah? What a beautiful life and death. They'll be happy, mashallah, I got the deed. They'll kiss it, embrace it. They'll say to each other, go. Allah says, you have succeeded. Without any reckoning, they'll go into paradise. No accounts. Without any accounting. Without any accounting, my friends, that's a big thing. Big achievement. Your right hand, your book of deeds will be given to you. What did you do? That you'll say, happily, we crushed our desires. We accepted whatever Allah says we're going to do that in our life. We're ready to sacrifice all the time in our life. We understood whatever is happening is a challenge, is a test, is an obstacle. If there's an obstacle in our way, in the path of Allah, we'll leave that obstacle. There's no benefit in our life or death or hereafter. We don't care about dunya. We don't want any status, fame. If anything's a hurdle in my deen, I'll sacrifice it. I'll break it down. Dunya, money, wealth, circumstances. No, I don't care. This country, our children, if this country is a restriction for me and my children, why are we sat here? Why? Oh, I'm dying, I can't earn since I've come here. She ran away, my daughter ran away, this happened, that problem, he's a disbeliever. Then why are you staying here? Why is the excuses? If all these tests are coming on, it's too hard for you, it's not jais, that is affecting your deen, your religion, your whole way of life. One item in your life is affecting your deen. Then why are you happy for coming and traveling here then? Migrating here. For this reason, either you don't want your deen to practice it, either you don't care, your salah, you can't pray, you can't observe parda, segregation, your children, the new generation who are born, their lifestyle is spoiled, then why are you coming here? That is said in the hadith that you have to come here, Allah says, that place which is better for your deen, even if it's a jungle, the wilderness, go to the jungle, the wilderness, to live there and practice your deen, if it's better for you. Here, if you're learning ilm, knowledge, even they're going to waste. The ones who are doing hifz, they're going to waste. The alim scholars, they're going to waste here as well. No thing is useful for us. It's all a drama, an excuse, that nothing can save us from sin. Nothing is saving you from the evil in where you are here. That you have collected those things, but it's not positively affecting your deen. It's rather decreasing your deen. And then it's for Allah. That means that this place is wrong then. For us, this place is wrong. Go away from there, migrate. He said that, why do you live with us? They say to us, the non-Muslims, why do you scream? It's our country, our lifestyle, our way of life. Why do you cry? Why do you complain? They'll say to you, then don't do these things in front of us. Yes, because that we've selected our lifestyle, Jahannam, we're going to hell anyway. So you want to go with us into hell? No, yaar, I'm forced to here. What can I do? Where will I work? If I go back home, we have to live here. He's come from Pakistan. They used to have, mashallah, good food, good climate. Back home, you've got degrees. You come into this dunya, Allah will say tomorrow, Allah's Nabi Sallam say that you will be asked this tomorrow. In this way, you will rise on the day of judgment, the hereafter, you people. But we don't want to understand. We know. We know we don't have determination, no passion to sacrifice for deen. We have no passion whatsoever. No, just by no passion that we should sacrifice ourselves for deen. No, that we just adjust, we cooperate, we adjust our lives so we can compromise the deen and run into the deen. And so Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he scanned us fully. That you can think yourself, the way you are living your life, your end will be the same. Well, so how great Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim. You've heard these names, isn't it? Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, hadith collections. They're the greatest, most authentic books of hadith. All the time of their life they spent on hadith. Eh? I can spend that much time. You can also. All night long I could study hadith rather than talking to women, looking at our phones, screens, women, talking to them, chatting to them, connecting to them. Read hadith. Spend the night. Then your night will become just like them in dhikrullah. Hadith. You could spend nights like this studying hadith, reading hadith. Morning time you won't be tired. You'll be fresh and you'll come and sit in dhikr inshallah. You won't feel tired at all, exhausted at all. But when I talk to women, chat to girls, look at silly scenes during the night, then your face will be like a donkey in the morning and you'll find it hard to come to Fajr and you'll be snoring in the morning and you'll be complaining and you won't know you're doing dhikr or what you're doing. Yes, because you spent a dirty night. Yeah? So just like we live our life, the morning will be like that. Just like I spend the night, the morning will be like that. Just like I spend the night, the morning will be like that for me. Yes, so I don't know, you'll be sitting dhikr outside, inside, no thought, no enjoyment. Did I say the right thing? Did I hear? Or just sitting here wasting time. You understand what I'm saying? Change your life, my friends. Improve it. After this, reading this hadith and studying this hadith today, we should really change our life. I should assess every day, how did I live my day? And night, my death will come. Imam Muslim. What a great imam. Something I'm reminding you now, showing to you. That by sitting, well, like I sat with the Wali Allah, I learned this. What a great imam, Imam Muslim. And his student came. And I can't remember the name of the student. He said, I have a question, this hadith, I can't remember it right now. Sheikh, can you tell me They say, he said, what hadith is it? Imam Muslim said, he said, I'll go. Because that was his field. He said, let me go. He said, I'll go to my kitabs and find this. So Imam Muslim, imagine how many kitabs he had. He's looking for this hadith in his books. Subhanallah. He found the hadith. He's searching. And he didn't know about hunger, thirst. He's looking, searching. He said, oh, I found it. After hours. And he called out, I found the hadith. And after finding the hadith, imagine his style, his lifestyle. Just like you live, you will die. He put the finger on the hadith and death comes to him. Muslim, you are being called back to me, Allah. There's no stopping. His finger's on the hadith. And he used to teach hadith. His finger was on the hadith. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Imam Muslim's passing away. Just like he lived, he died in the same way. Subhanallah. Just like you live the life, that's how the death will be. Imam Yusuf. Yes, many examples we can share. Imam Yusuf was a great imam in the history of Islam. From the students, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. He was a student, main. And one of his students came and asked him a question. And there was a debate, and it's the time for him. At that time, he wasn't in a good condition. And he opened his eye, he said, the masla. He said, I want to ask you something, please. And his students are sat there. And he says, you know, Rimi, on Hajj, the Rami. About that, there's a question. That, do you do it by foot or can you go on transport? There's a technical masala. Can you do it by foot or transport? Horseback, etc. He's solving the... So they started to discuss. And the Imam, he solved the problem, eventually. About Rami. That in this way, you do it by foot. And in this condition, you'll do it on the horseback or on the transport. So, if you're on your own, you know, just like the last time for Rami, you can do it by foot or on the transport. You can do it like this. He was explaining the issue. So he said, Subhanallah. And he was happy. He expressed his anger. He said, Hazrat, amazing. You solved the question. He said that and he left. And he saw, as soon as he went out, and behind that, people are crying. And he ran back. He said, what happened? They said that he's passed away. Imam, that was his last question he answered through the deen. Allama Zahbi, rahmatullah. Great Imam of Islam. And he, mashallah, he was called the star of the Muhaddithin. 4 million, you could say, narrations he had sifted through. 40 lakh, you could say 4 million. Ask him any questions about hadith, he was presented that much questions in his life about the hadith. That many. 4 million, approximately. That was his status, his height in the deen. And he became sick. And his students are sat next to him. And mashallah, he wanted to keep repeating the kalima. Because he was about to pass away. They wanted the students to what? Recite? The kalima. So they were narrating the hadith about the kalima. Abu Huraira, qala qala sallam. And that they could not dare that in front of our ustad that we can complete this hadith. So according to the understanding, everyone recites. And then they'd be quiet there when they after Abu Huraira saying that. Then he opened his eyes. And he's about to pass away. And he said, shall I complete this hadith? Subhanallah, all the students say quiet. He said, qala qala Rasulullah sallam. And he started, anna Rasulullah sallam. He started to recite the hadith, man kana karama. La ilaha illallah, kalama akhra, la ilaha illallah, dakhlul jannah. Whoever recites la ilaha illallah, soon he said jannah, he passed away. Subhanallah. So imagine, my discussion would be incomplete if I don't say this now. So it's the final moments of Hazrat Sahab, my sheikh. He was lying down on, you could say not bed, it was like a palm mat. And all Hazrat Sahab's students stood around there. And everyone could feel that this is the final moment for Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh. It was Zuhr time. Especially it was the time I saw in my life, my sheikh. Unique time of Zuhr time. And it was a special Allah Ta'ala's faizan, blessings would descend at Zuhr time. And you can't understand that in the midst and the company of Hazrat Sahib, my teacher, so much nur. One person would criticize a lot. And he used to be there. in Jeddah, he used to live. And he used to say, there was this, it was obviously the effect of living there. He said, I can't be like this, walis of Allah, you do this, you do this, this is innovation. Who's that, your sheikh? You keep on respecting him too much. You shouldn't do these things. It's just, I said, listen, I'll give you a ticket. Come with me, let's go to Pakistan, to the company of my sheikh. He said, okay, I'll come with you. So he had doubts. So I made him accept from Jeddah. He used to live in Jeddah, my uncle. So I said, I took him to Pakistan, my uncle. And he was my mamu relationship in Karachi. I said, I will go to Karachi, you come with me. He said, okay, I'll travel with you, let's have a look. Who is your sheikh, your teacher? Let me, introduce me to him. Introduce me to him. He had doubts. So anyhow, we arrived, it was afternoon time. And we had food. And it was Zuhr time. I said, let's go now. Let's go to the Khanqah to see Hazrat Sahab. He said, okay, let's go. So now, in between there was a road, Hazrat Sahab's, you know, like from here, there was a house on the other side of the road, and the Khanqah was on one side. So what people used to do, that they would stand on one side of the road to welcome Hazrat Sahab when he come to the Khanqah. For example, some people will stand, just like we go out of the masjid, and then somebody would take the hand of Hazrat Sahab and then help them to cross the road. So we, all of us were waiting there, everyone, according to the opportunity. So we'd go and receive Hazrat Sahab and we'd stand next to the wall just to welcome Hazrat Sahab when he'd come from his home. Blessing. Until he didn't come, then we wouldn't go inside. We'd go with Hazrat Sahab into the masjid out of the respect, the adab of the sheikh. People do that. And people say it's bid'ah, innovation, respecting the sheikh. No. So we were stood there and I took him, my uncle, and he was Sayyid Shah Sahab, and I took him and he stood there. I said, from here Hazrat Sahab will come out. That day, amazing thing Hazrat Sahab did, my sheikh. How much kashf, vision he has, vision. At that time, instead of coming from there, Hazrat Sahab, his window of his hujra, he opened the window and right in front of there was me and my uncle stood there. And then I'm telling you the true scene here, true scene. That time Hazrat Sahab's, mashallah, great, beautiful appearance. He opened the window and looked and glanced. Suddenly he dropped down, my uncle, when he saw the beautiful face of my sheikh. True story. And I took him by the arm and I said, please close the bed. And then I couldn't understand myself. What did he see? What did he see? It wasn't even in my mind that he was paying attention. It was, I didn't pay attention towards the window, towards the door. So then suddenly he dropped. Subhanallah, he suddenly dropped. Loud. Khair, slowly we picked him up. And then he wasn't in his senses. He went, prayed salah. And then I shook his hands. He said, Allahu Akbar. He couldn't even have the strength to shake the hand anyway. With difficulty, I took his hand. And Hazrat Sahab, he looked towards him and smiled. My sheikh. And it was Jalal, Hazrat Sahab. The beauty was so limitless. And he controlled that beauty. And with great enjoyment, Hazrat Sahab controlled and calmed him down, cooled him down. And mashallah, the way he was struggling on the ground, Hazrat Sahab, please make me your attendant, your student. And I was saying, what's happened to you? So many doubts before. So Hazrat Sahab gave love to him, affection. Has he come with you? I said, yes, he's come with you. Hazrat Sahab said, mashallah, he's Sayyid. I said, yes, he's Sayyid. And Hazrat Sahab gave him dhikr, calmed him down. So I've seen the real Jalal, the impact of my sheikh. And that time Hazrat Sahab passed, that was the same time, similar time when Hazrat Sahab passed away, the Hazrat Sahab was lying down because he had extreme pain at the time that he had a heart attack, afternoon time. And there's no help there, obviously, medically, in them days. So Hazrat tossed to one side, to the other side, and third, then immediately a smile came onto his blessed face. Beautiful, his face was smiling, spread out. You know, the face is illuminated. And after illuminating his face, he said, La ilaha illallah. And that was it. This was the death of Hazrat Sahab, my sheikh. So just as you live your life, the death will be the same way. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have spoken a lot, you are seeing me off out of Medina Sharif. Please give me a special advice, because I can leave this world comfortably and my hereafter can be made. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Oh Mu'adh, you've asked a good question. That when your death comes and when you're dying, you should die in such a way that your tongue should be moist with the dhikr of Allah. Moist with the dhikr of Allah. What does that mean? Moist. That all life long with dhikr of Allah, you're connected doing dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, so that you get that time that when you're departing this world at death, you are leaving the world whilst doing dhikr of Allah. That should be the aim. So the dhakir, when he dies, how does he die? Then he's doing dhikr, remembering Allah, and he dies in that manner. And he attains the kalama at the time of death. Affirmation of faith. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. That we couldn't get there. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a gathering of those doing dhikr. Why are there few people? Is there just this many people in Bolton sat here? This is also Allah's selection special. Those people who Allah selected to make the akhirah, Allah allows them, Allah opens their hearts and puts the dhikr of Allah into their hearts, the desire, the love, the passion. Otherwise, should this masjid not be full now? Should there not be long lines that he who does the dhikr of Allah, he will die with iman, guaranteed, that is. Guaranteed. Who's given the guarantee? Imamul Anbiya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great sahabi is being given the guarantee. Bas, if you want success, then remember one thing. The whole life, your days and nights, spent your whole life, how? With what? Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Is how? Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. The dhikr, remember Allah in such a way that you don't care about the world whilst you're in dhikrullah. Be immersed in dhikrullah. You become a true dhakir. So just like you live your life, the death will be the same. Understand this learning? Today, it's in our hands. The ball is in our court. The game is in our hands. If we want to teach everyone must, according to this hadith, we die and we raise up. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man nahabba sunnati faman nahabani. Faman nahabani kana ma'ya fil jannati. Whoever practices my sunnah, I will love him. And whoever loves me, I will take him with me into paradise. Man nahabba sunnati faman nahabani. Subhanallah, so if I keep the beard of the Prophet and follow the sunnah, wear the libas, man tashabba biqawmin fa mu'minun, and those who imitate those who are against me, enemies, then you pray like that in their dress code, their libas, you look like them. Yes, our whole lifestyle is like that. Man tashabba biqawmin fa mu'minun, who lives a lifestyle like the opposite, then his death will be like that, will be those people, like those people who he imitated during his life. But it's in our heart, in our hands, the whole game's in our hands. It's our choice, selection. Not that you are going to buy from outside the deen. No. Everything about our life and the hereafter is in our hands. Do I want to go into paradise or hell? It's my choice. Do I want to take the path to Jannah? It's separate, unique. You do these actions and direct you go into paradise. How you live your life, akhlaq, conduct, manners, salah, morning, evening, go pray, salah, congregation, the masjid, dhikrullah, reciting Quran, hadith you'll read. Just as you live your life, that's if you live life cautiously, your death will come in a nice way. Whoever you imitate during your life, you're greedy, dunya, fraud, cheating, deceiving, money, hubbu dunya, love of material things. You do that during your life, at the time of death, then at the time I can tell you stories, those from their tongue instead of kalima, they said, dunya, dunya, oh can you give my money, I've got that loan, my son's not come, he owes me this, or take that, or get that back, get that gold, give him those goods, give him those luxuries. Oh, he's crying, my dunya, my daughter's not come to see me. Subhanallah, and that person's dying saying these things. Dying. Oh, these gold, give that person, bring that chain, give that much money, this much he loaned me, oh, this is my balance. This is also death. This is also a scene of death. And what a death is, such a ghastly death, as dragging the person, the window of Jahannam's opening for that person. Why? Because he lived his life like that. Apart from hisab, kitab, counting, dunya, there was no other action. This much money, give to that person, why has he got that much? I want this business, get that, snatch that from that, give that, go this way, travel that way, let's do this, enjoy it. Death time, the fuzool, wasteful. Doesn't matter how much you press that person, resuscitation, he will not be able to speak. Wa akhru dawana anil alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
خطأنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا
Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar wa qina azabal qabr wa qina azabal hashr wa qina azabal mizan wa adkhilna jannata ma'al abrar ya aziz ya ghaffar ya rabbal alamin Ya Rabbul Alameen, Ya Rabbul Alameen Allahumma inna ala zikriko wa shukriko wa husni ibadatika Ya Qadi al-Haja iktahajatina Ya Dabi al-Balayyat itfa balayyatina يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا من المتقين إماما اللهم دبر همهما كما ربياني صغيرا
بیڈفورڈ سے ہماری ایک ہلکی خاتون ہیں ان کی والدہ کا انتقال ہو گیا ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے اللہ پاک ان کی والدہ کو اعلیٰ درجہ نصیب فرمائے ان کی مغفرت فرمائے ان کے آنے والے امتحان آسان فرمائے قبر کو حد نظر کشادہ فرمائے جنت کی کیاری میں سے کیاری بنائے ان کے پسوان کو اللہ تعالیٰ صبر زمین نصیب فرمائے اس پر ان کو اجر نصیب فرمائے وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ